Down in the engine room of the Storrs, U.S. Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander George Greendike is the engineer officer on board. He walks in narrow passageways between loud diesel engines that slowly thrust the ship to the placid waters of Stevens Passage.
We're getting to the point where we're pretty comfortable with pretty much the majority of the ship's operations. Now we just need to get control of the things that pop up only every once in a while.
The Storrs joins the Healy and the Polar Star as the third polar icebreaker that the U.S. military owns. You maybe saw the large red and white ship through the fog in Juneau over the weekend, but it was only here for a little while before heading north. Captain Corey Kearns said the icebreaker's mission over the next couple of months has two main purposes. One, assert U.S. sovereignty, and two, learn how to operate the ship, which is unlike any other in their fleet.
In this case, we need Arctic presence was the most important thing.
He says that the U.S. has failed to keep pace with other nations, including Russia and China, in building polar icebreakers capable of navigating the waters of the far north. So Congress made the Coast Guard buy this one from an American company, Edison Schust Offshore, for $125 million.
So we're willing to take some risk or forced into it because our shipbuilding projects are so behind, you know, to be honest.
The Storrs had some issues in its past life. The ship was originally called AVIC and was built to support oil drilling in the Arctic. It famously lost control of a Shell oil rig off the coast of Kodiak during its maiden voyage in 2012. After the oil rig ran aground, government reports concluded there were issues with how the icebreaker was designed and with how the crew handled it in dangerous waters. One of the main issues was the location of the fuel vents. Seawater flowed into the vents and caused the diesel engines to fail. Kern says they've fixed the issue since.
So those were raised a little bit higher, which means you could take more water in vicinity of them before it would downflood. So not that it couldn't possibly happen again, but it's less likely.
In addition to raising the fuel vents, the other major changes to the ship were painting the hull red, installing military satellite communication systems, and adding an armory. And he says the crisis with the oil rig was also a result of how the crew made decisions at the time.
But if you're towing a 100,000-ton ship in like 40-foot seas, that's restricting the movement of your ship. It's no amount of design is going to save you from a bad situation.
Before getting a ride along for press and families of the crew underway, the ship sat at Auk Bay Ferry Terminal. The voyage was delayed for around 2 hours. Kearns says a propeller malfunction was to blame, but it would be a quick fix once they got downtown.
But again, that's some of the growing pains of us learning.
They're learning from a civilian crew at Edison Schust, who are contracted to train the Coast Guard. Commander Philip Baxa, chief of the Coast Guard's Aids to Navigation and Ice Capabilities Division, helped negotiate the purchase of Storrs. He says the ship's home port will be Juneau, once the infrastructure is built.
It doesn't just stop at the waterfront with the pier. It's the warehouses and workshops for our maintainers, but it's also the housing units for the crew members and their families.
The recent Trump-signed funding bill allocated $300 million to build the port. Baxa says it will take around a decade, and that building sites have not yet been decided. He expects roughly 100 crew members and maintenance workers will be stationed here. The ship is planning to visit Seward, Kodiak, and Dutch Harbor, then will head north through the Bering Strait over the next couple of months. Those port calls are subject to change. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.